Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes. We will begin on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis. Four lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. Hakel Chayovim Ba'aba Koisus Halalu. Everybody is obligated to drink the Ba'aba Koisus. Echad Anoshim, men. Echad Anoshim, women. Echad Tinoikus, and children. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda immediately asked, V'chi ma to'elus yesh lo Tinoikus B'yayin? What constructive purpose can we give to children needing to drink wine? And as the Rishonim explained, even though we learned in our previous year that women are mechuyev in dal kaisus shavhein hoye beis anes, but point out the Rishonim, that's because they could appreciate wine, but children who don't have any appreciation for wine, how can we say that the mechuyev to drink wine Pesach by night? And moreover, they explain that since, as we explained in our previous year, the purpose of drinking wine by the Seder is to represent the Derech Eretz that we experienced as we left Mitzrayim. The children, however, won't have any don't understand that through drinking wine. It's not something that really speaks to them. So why did Chazal say that they should drink wine? The Pri Chodesh, based on this Gemara, says from here we see that one can't be yotze the dalek koises just by hearing the bracha or hearing the kiddush. Because if you could be yotze through shmiya, so then of course we could understand why the Gemara says that children can drink the dal kaisis. It must be that dal kaisis can only be yotz in the midst of dal kaisis by drinking the dal kaisis. And therefore, the Gemara's question comes back: what's the point in asking children to drink wine? There's a machlokas rishonim that when our Gemara establishes that children are mechuyev in the dal kaisis, are we speaking about children who are gil chinuch, who are already of age, that they're old enough that we could be mechanech them about mitzvahs, or we're talking about younger children? The Rebbeinu David learns that our sugya is speaking about children shehigil chinuch, that are old enough to understand what we mean with the dalek kaisis. The Kavan the Sanal, however, says that we're talking about children even shloi higil chinuch, and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tuf Ayin Beis Sif Tazvav says that the chiyuv of giving dal koisus to ketanim is only by children that higiu l'chinuch. Why? So the Rashbam explains, because they were also freed from Mitzrayim. The explanation of Avhein Hoyu Beis Anes. The Ravan explains, because again, as we're going to learn in a moment, everything that we do by the Seder is an order that the children should ask questions. So when the children are fed four cups of wine, it certainly will cause them to ask, why is this happening tonight? Rabbeinu David learns, since we just learned a moment ago, Rabbeinu David explains that the ketanim in our shir, the ketanim that are being discussed here, are ketanim shegil chanech, and therefore he says that the chiyuv chinuch causes that we should be, that they should have dal kaisis. And the Gemara's question, as Duran explains, chinuch, that we have to be mechanech children, of course, is critical mitzvah, but it has to make sense. And being mechanech children to drink dal kaisis doesn't seem to make any sense. And therefore, says the Gemara, what do we do? Mechakalam kloyus, we give them a wheat that was roasted in fire, the goizen ber Pesach, we give them nuts, all these different foods, kedei shlo yishanu, that they shouldn't go to sleep, v'yishalu, and we want them to remain up, that to ask the questions. And the whole purpose of the Seder, as we said, is that the children, v'gadat l'vincha, that we should teach our children what happened the night we went out of Mitzrayim. And normally, we don't give children this kind of candies or nash at that time of the night. And that's what's going to cause them to start asking questions. That's how the Pri Chodesh explains. The Meiri explains, if we're going to give them nuts and nash, they're going to want to stay up. And because they're going to want to stay up, that's going to cause them to ask questions. And in fact, says the Gemara, Amar Lovel Rabbi Kiva, they said regarding Rabbi Kiva, Shei Mechal Klois V'Gozen L'Tinoikos Bar Pesach, he would distribute to the children these different types of foods that they enjoy on Erev Pesach. And the purpose was, Kadesh Shlo Yishnu, that they shouldn't go to sleep. And V'Yishalu, they'll stay up and ask questions. Tanya, and we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Choytvin Matzis, we grab the matzahs b'leil psochim from the children on the night of Pesach, b'shvil shalu shalo yishnu, that they shouldn't sleep. There are many pshatim in choytvin matzahs. Rashi learns that they pick up, as we know, during certain points in the Seder, we pick up the kara, and the reason we pick up the kara is that the children should ask, why is this happening? And once we get them interested, they will start asking all sorts of questions, which we just said is the purpose of the Seder. Another pshat that Rashi says in Chaytvin is that they used to eat quickly. And that's going to be the next Gemara, that Rabbi Kiva would leave the yeshiva immediately on Erev Pesach in order to start the Seder before the children would fall asleep. And the Mishnah Brura indeed says that Mizarzim is a Seder, that the halach is that we should start the Seder very quickly. Shloishno atekut noikus. He says that when one should have everything for the Seder prepared from before the Seder, so in order that they should be up for the Seder. And in fact, the Sharetzin explains that we want to make the Seder go quickly because we want to make the Seder go quickly, so we should get to Matzah and Maror, because those are the primary mitzvahs that we fulfill on the night of Pesach at the Seder. And we want them to be up and ask questions and understand why we eat Matzah and Maror this night. Another pshat that the Rashbam explains, that we do all sorts of different types of things by the Seder, which we normally don't do. And the reason we do that is because the causes that the children should ask, what's going on tonight is different than every other night. Another pshat is that they used to have a contest by the Seder. Chayt v'matzah zemizeh, they used to grab the matzahs, the adults one from the other, or the adults from the children. They did all sorts of activities at the Seder to cause that the children should say, see that this is not your regular evening meal, and ask all sorts of questions. I saw that the Sefer L'Horis Nosson has a very different explanation to this Gemara. He says that when we come to the Seder, people, as they get to sit by the Seder, they realize that they're reaching higher madrigas than they reach all year round. And they are surprised. How did they get to this madrega that they didn't have the whole year round? So we say, Halach ma'anya, dochala v'sana ba'ar de mitzrayim. Just like an oni, just like a poor person, when he gets a gift, he realizes he didn't do anything special to earn that gift. Mina shemayim, they made that he should get this gift. When somebody sits down to the Seder, the incredible, beautiful setting of the Seder, and he realizes that not only does he, Baruch Hashem, have the schus of sitting by the Seder together with his family and the beautiful table of the Seder, but he also realizes that he has now reached a new madrega that he didn't reach previously. So we tell him, Choyt v'matzis b'leil ha-Pesach, on the night of Pesach, we're able to, chaytiv means to grab. We're grabbing new madrigas. And why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give this to us? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give this matnas chinam to us? B'shvil t'noikish lo yishnu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that we are in the category of tinoikis. We are in the category of children. We're not really where we ought to be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned that we shouldn't fall into the scholars and that we shouldn't end up in a very bad place. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his gevaldige rachmanis, is mashpia on us by the Seder, this gevaldige madrega. And when we reach these madregas, we announce, Halavai, hashta hocho, l'shon haba ba'ad Yisrael, hashta avd l'shon haba b'nei chayrim. That's what the attitude we should have as we get to the Seder. I once saw that Reb Shimon Seifer was the son of the Chassam Seifer, and he was the Rav of the city of Krakow. And he writes in his Sefer, Michtav Seifer, that Chayt and Matzis is the basis for the famous minig. We know that the children steal Dafi Kaiman, and when they return it to their father, he promises them gifts. And he actually, his son, in that Sefer, Michtav Seifer, writes that was the way his father led the Seder every year, that they had this different contest, as we just mentioned, and they stole the Afikoyman. And one of the son-in-laws of the Michtav Seifer, the first year he attended the Seder of his father-in-law, was not something that he was accustomed to see, this type of activity at the Seder. And he immediately asked his father-in-law, what is this all about? So his father asked him during the Seder, and he said, I'll answer you during the Suda. And he said to him, we know that the Pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yechretz kelef es l'shoinim. None of the dogs barked. We're going to have a Gemara, Mitzvah Shem and our Perek, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amr Aleph, that Amr Chazal, that a person shouldn't live in a city where there are no dogs. And the reason is, because the dogs would serve as the shomrim, as the gatekeepers for the ganovim. That if chas v'sholem, ganovim entered the city, the shomrim, the dogs, would bark. So now, on the night of Pesach, there were no dogs barking. If there were no dogs barking, the ganovim felt much more liberty to be able to do what they wanted to do. To commemorate the Lo Yechretz Kalev Es L'Shoinai, what the Michtav Seifer was trying to say is that everything that takes place at the Seder and every minig that takes place at the Seder has a source. And that's the source for the minig that the children steal the Afikoyman. Says the Gemara Tanya, Amar Lava Rabbi Kiva. They said regarding Rabbi Kiva, Miyamav Lo Yomei Yigi Eis Lamed Beis Medrash. Whenever he was sitting in yeshiva, he never would say, it's time to leave yeshiva. Chutz mi'avi psachim v'erev yom kippur, except for erev Pesach and erev yom kippur. V'avi psachim, he used to do this on erev psachim, because he wanted to start, as we said a moment ago, the Seder immediately, because he wanted to begin the Seder in a timely fashion, b'shvil atanoikis k'dei shlo yishnu. He was concerned that the children shouldn't fall asleep at a Seder. On Erev Yom Kippur, he would tell them to go. He would tell all the Talmidim to go home k'dei shiachilu es b'neihem, because there's a mitzvah tied on Erev Yom Kippur. As we learned the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Ches Amud Beis, the kol oichel v'shoyes b'erev Yom Kippur, whoever eats and drinks an erev Yom Kippur, kilu sana chi v'siri, it's like he fasted an erev Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur. So that's why they were very anxious to go home to be able to mekayim that mitzvah. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simon Reish Mem Hei, Sif Yud Bey, says that loyvatlu as hatinoikis. Never should we ask children to leave yeshiva. The only time is chutz me'er Shabbos or erev Yom Tov at the end of the day, and erev Pesach and erev Yom Kippur. So there's a number of pshatim that they went home b'shvil hatinoikis lo yishnu. Rashi in the Rashbam learned a very interesting pshat, that what the Gemara means to say is that they used to, that they were concerned that the children should be able to sleep, that the children should go to sleep erev Pesach in the afternoon, so that they should be able to be up at night by the Seder. So which Tosfos asks, for that the father doesn't have to leave yeshiva, because the mothers could put the children to sleep. So that's why Rashi Masechet Sukkah says that the reason they used to leave yeshiva early was because of making the Korban Pesach. But of course, that doesn't apply bizman hazeh. Another pshat that the Rashbam says is the pshat that we learned the Gemara, that they got up to leave yeshiva shul as quickly as possible. They used to say a shir sometimes after davening, yontif in the evening, Shabbos in the evening. But when Pesach came, they did not do so because they wanted all the children to be up for the Seder and therefore immediately begin the Seder after davening. Tara bottom. Chayv Adam L'samach Bonav Ubnei Beisa Beregel. A person has to make his whole family happy on Yontif. Shnema, as the Pasuk says, V'samachta B'chagecha. Ask the Gemara B'ma M'samchem, what exactly is the way to make them happy? Says the Gemara B'yayin, serving them wine. V'yuda Aymer Anoshim Haroyu Lehem. Every person has to make, you have to make simcha to every person according to what they enjoy. Anoshim Beroy Lahem, Venoshim Beroy Lahem. Men will what make them happy, women will what makes them happy. Anoshim Beroy Lahem, Beyayin. Men are happy with wine. Noshim Bemai, what makes women happy? Tan Rav Yosef, Bebovo, in Bovo, Bebigdei Tzvonim, buying them colored clothing. Oberet Yisrael, where the weather is different, Bebigdei Pishtem Megoatzim, with pressed linen clothing. Tanya Behuda ben Beseira Oimer, Bizman Shabbos Midrash Kayim, Ain Simcha Ela Basar. The way, when the Beis Midrash was standing, the way we fulfilled the obligation of Simchas Yontif was with meeting meat. Shnema, Vizavachta Shlom, Vachalta Shlom, Vizamachta, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. So the Pasuk clearly connects eating the carbon shlomim to the mitzvah of Simcha. However, now that unfortunately we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and Simcha Ela B'Yayin, the way we enjoy, the way we reach Simcha is with Yayin, Shenemar, as the Pasuk indeed says, V'Yayin Yisamach Lavav Enosh. So yeah, Gemara says, the Chayiv Odom, that we have to make sure to have Simchas Yontif. The Shagas Aryeh has a discussion if, as our Gemara just said, the primary way of being mekayim mitzvah Simchas Yontif is with Shalmi Simcha. The Bezman Hazeh, as the Gemara just said, we unfortunately don't have the Shalmi Simcha. Is the mitzvah Simchas Yontif still a chiyuv deraisa? Can you fulfill the chiyuv of Simchas Yontif without having Shalmi Simcha? And the Shagas Aryeh suggests that it's actually machlokes rishonim. The opinion of the Rambam is that it's a chiyuv deraisa, and the opinion of Tosfos is that it's a chiyuv derabbanan. Moreover, the Shagas Aryeh wants to suggest, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, that on the first night of Yontif, there were no Shalmei Simcha, because Shalmei Simcha could only be brought once Yontif begins. So he says that the first night of Yontif, there is no Chiyuv of Simchas Yontif Mideraisa. The Magen Avraham disagrees, and the Magen Avraham says that there's a Chiyuv Simchas Yontif throughout Yontif. Not only is there a chiv Simchas Yontif throughout Yontif, there's a chiv Simchas Yontif on the first night of Pesach as well. You can't be mekayim that chiv Simcha with Shalmi Simcha, so you mekayim it with the other ways. It's quite clear that the Magen Avraham opinion is that the chiv Simchas Yontif is a chiv Simchas Yontif even as man is mederaisa. The Sfas Emes says that the Rambam's opinion is that there's certainly Simchas Yontif, the first night of Yontif as well. Just there are different degrees, suggests the Sfas Emes, of Simchas Yontif. And the first night's obligation of Simchas Yontif is a higher level obligation than the rest of Yontif. So Tosfos points out that the Gemara says, Chayiv Adam, that a person has to make simcha for his whole family on Yontif. So the Tosefta says that we see from here that the chiv of making everybody else happy is part of your Simchas Yontif. I saw the Sefer Torah Rafal explains. When we speak about Simchas Yontif on Yontif, and that the one has to make his whole family b'simcha, it's not to be understood that we have to make sure that every person we should give them what makes them simcha. A person causing simcha for another person is the highest level of simcha. And that's what the Gemara means to say, that we should make all of our family members b'simcha. By us making them b'simcha, we are fulfilling the mitzvah of simchas. The Shagas Arya says that our Gemara says, "Ein simcha ela b'yayin," doesn't apply to women. It only applies to men. And as the Gemara indeed said, that anoshim b'roi lehem, v'noshim b'roi lehem, give men what they're accustomed to, and give the women what they're accustomed to. And Reb Chaim Briska says that there are two elements in the chiyuv of Simchas Yontif. One was the chiyuv of Bosa Kabonis, that on Yontif we had to partake of the different Kabonis we brought on Yontif. And then we have to have Simcha not with Kabonis. We have to have Simcha with whatever we can have Simcha. And that mitzvah, so although the mitzvah of Simcha with Kabonis, unfortunately no longer, we don't have currently, the Simcha, the mitzvah of chiyuv, Simcha, that applies. And with that, Reb Chaim Briska explains what we mentioned in the name of the Shagas Aryeh, the difference between the first night of Yontif and the rest of Yontif. Because even though the first night of Yontif, that certainly, he says, the first night of Yontif, there was always a Chiv Simcha Medaraisa. But he explains that the first night's Chiv Simcha Medaraisa was only the second element that we just mentioned. The element of Simcha in any way you have Simcha. The rest of Yontif, Bezman Shebesim and Shari Kayim, was with Karban Shlomim. Others suggest that maybe what the Torah means to say is there are two ways of fulfilling Mitzvah Simcha. And Bezman Shebesim Migdosh, Hayukayim, the way you were Makayim Simcha was with Shalmi Simcha. And nowadays, the Torah right away, so to speak, understood there's going to be a time where unfortunately we won't have a Beis HaMikdash. And for that time, the Torah says, you of course have to have a Simchas Yontif. But the way you're going to get to that Simchas Yontif is with Yayin, or the different things that make people happy. But I saw that the Pri Chodesh says that the wine one drinks to be Mekayim, it's a Simchas Yontif, has to be wine that makes you happy. So according to the Pri Chodesh, one would not be yoytze the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif with grape juice. The Taz, however, says that you can be Mekayim mitzvah Simchas Yontif. They didn't necessarily have grape juice. They had Yayin Tzimukim, raisin wine. So it seems that you can make Simchas Yontif with even something that doesn't intoxicate. The Gilyonei HaShas says that you can be yoytze Simcha with whiskey or beer, anything that's an alcoholic beverage. And Rabbi Yosher Zatzal used to say, as we're learning that the Chi of Simcha applies for the entire Yontif, if anything, the only time when there is no Chi of Simcha is on the first night of Yontif, which we said most Paiskim say that the first night of Yontif, there also is a Chi of Simcha. So says Rabbi Yosher, there's a Chi of to drink wine on every day of Yontif. There's a chiv to drink a revius wine every day of Yontif, because there's a chiv simcha, and our Gemara says, ain simcha el b'yayin, so we have to drink wine every day. So I saw a number of pshatim in this Gemara. I saw from the Lel of a Rebbe, is ain simcha el v'basar, that the Gemara is teaching us a tremendous lesson. We are basar v'dam. We are just regular people. And we think to ourselves sometimes, what are we to be able to serve Hashem? Teaches us the Gemara. Ain't simcha el b'basar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu simcha. Who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? The Avoida is Hashem, a boss of Adam. Even people who are just human, but that's who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see our avoda. Our Gemara says, "Ain't simcha el b'yayin." So I saw that the Avnei Nezer explains why is there specifically yayin. So he says that when we think of simcha, we think of simcha typically in as something that we could see, something which is b'chitzoni, something which is outwards. He says that is not the real simcha. Real simcha is the panemius. Real simcha is what is within us. And wine has the ability to do that. Wine brings out who we are. What is our panemius? What are we really all about? And that's what wine is all about. The wine is the juice that's in the grape. So we specifically drink wine in Yontif to show that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectation is that the pnimius, that in the heart and in the neshama of every Jew, there should be simcha in his avodas Hashem. And in fact, Avnei Nezer explains, that's why we've discussed, we're going to learn the Mitzvah Hashem again, in Masechta Beya, there's a serious discussion if on Shabbos Yontif, one may dance. Here we're learning that in Shabbos for Yontif, there's such an important element of simcha. And after those days, Chazal were concerned about letting us dance. Why? So he explains, because Chazal wanted us to understand that simcha doesn't really mean the chitzonius. Simcha really means the pnimius. Dancing is the best example of simcha chitzonius. But Chazal taught us that the real simcha is in the pnimius. But it's interesting to point out that where do we learn the halacha of being b'simcha on Yontif? We learn it from the pasuk v'yisa ach sameach. So the word ach throughout Shas is a miut. It comes to exclude. So I saw that Rav Shmuel David Valkin Zatzal asked the question, if the Torah wants to teach us the halacha of simcha, why does the Torah choose to teach us the halacha of simcha specifically with the words v'ayisa ach sameach, which seem to diminish the simcha? So in a drasha that he gave after the Holocaust, after World War II, he says that after the war, many people came home from the war and their families were eradicated. They were left with very few family members, and their families and their friends and their neighbors were all gone. And they felt to themselves, how could they be happy? So he said that the Torah tells us there's going to be a time when you're going to be ach, when you're going to be just alone. And you're going to think to yourself, how could I be happy? How could I rejoice in a time with such sorrows? So the Torah teaches us, v'yisa ach, even when you're left alone, when you're in a status of ach sameach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us still to be b'simcha and to serve him b'simcha. Says the Gemara. So we learned in our previous year that the amount of wine we need to drink, the minimum that we need to have in the cup for the Dalek Kaisis is a revius. And the Gemara wants to know, how do we measure a revius? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kasta de Mariosa, they used to have this jar in which they sold the murius, the fish sauce, the avet zipayri that they had in zipayra. He avas kamin luga de migdisha. That jar was the size of the lug that they had in the base of migdash. Obam sharon revius leil pesach, and that shal pesach, and that was the way to measure the revius that we had in pesach, because a lug contains four revius. So if we fill up the lug with whatever beverage and divide it into four, we would know what is the exact shear of a revius. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tamnaisa kadmaisa d'ave p'tveria. There was a measure called a tuman that they used in Tveria. Have you seiris alda? They enlarged that shear a river by a revius haloig. So if you take these two kalim, the old tuman measurement and the new Tumen measurement, and you see the difference, that's the amount that is a revius. Boy Mishayim, revius of Pesach, that's how we'll know revius of Pesach. But as the Rishonim point out, those kalim, those vessels, don't exist b'zman hazeh. So the Gemara wants to know that b'zman hazeh, where those vessels don't exist, how do we measure a revius? So says the Gemara, Amar Chizda, revius shel Torah, the amount of space that the revius takes up is atzpayim al atzpayim, two etzba by two etzba, b'rum atzpayim, v'chatzi etzba, by the height of 2.5 etzba, v'choymish etzba, and another fifth. And the Gemara comes to that calculation. Ketanya, the Torah says, when somebody becomes tamei, he has to immerse himself in a mikvah. And the Torah, when it says that din, says, v'rochetz b'mayim es kol b'soroi. We learn from that pasuk, that when one goes into mikvah, there's not allowed to be any chatzitza on his body, nothing separating him from the mikvah. Then the pasuk says, b'mayim. Usually, when the Torah says the word b'mayim, it has it with a shva, b'mayim. Here the Torah uses the words b'mayim to teach us that you have to go into main mikvah. It has to be water that gathered together, May shuvim, water that we draw and pull in and pour into the mikvah would be disqualified for mikvah. Then the pasuk says, "As kol b'saroi, what is the minimum size of a mikvah? Mikvah has to be minimum mayim shel kol gufay oilim. It's a pool that if a person immerses himself, his entire body would be covered. The kamehain, how much water does that take up? Says the Gemara, ama al ama." That it's the shear of an amma and amma, barum shalosh amas by three amas. And shear chachamim, Chazal determined that the amount of water in that pool is abam saw. So as the Rishonim explained, we're just going to do it very superficially. If we know that a mikvah, the mikvah which takes up the space of an amma by an amma with by three amas holds 40 saw, if we keep on reducing that to the amount that we need to of a revius of that, we'll see that it takes up this shear of etzba al etzba by that height. Continues the Gemara. Amali Amar Avashi, Amali Ravin Machinana, Shulchan Shal Migdash. The shulchan that they used in the base of Migdash, that they every Shabbos we know they would put in the lechem upon him and take out the lechem upon him, says the Gemara. Shulchan shel Migdash, the shulchan that they used in the base of Migdash, shel Prokem Hava, was made out of separate pieces. It wasn't one piece. Because, says the Gemara, this Al-Kadat Chadutu HaMahadik, if you're going to suggest that it was made all together and it could not be disassembled, there was no way that it could ever fit into the mikvah. Because the dimensions of the shulchan were two amas length by an amma width. Now, if the shulchan will become tamei, there's no way it could be put into the mikvah. Because as we just said, the width of a mikvah is an amma. So how could you fit something which is an amma wide, amsa ba'amsa, something which is an amma wide, how could you fit into a mikvah which is an amma wide, hechemet b'lei? It means that they would never be able to put into the mikvah. Furthermore, says the Rashbam, it must be that they also were able to take off the legs of the mikvah, of the shulchan, because the shulchan's height was an amma v'chetzi, and therefore it also cannot be fit into the mikvah. There are Rishonim that disagree with the Rashbam, and they say that wouldn't be a problem because perhaps it could be put into the mikvah on a slant, and therefore it would fit. The other question that the Rishonim discuss is that there were other kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara here is obviously concerned that those kalim could get tamei, and how could we put them into the mikvah? So why did the Gemara pick the shulchan? So all the other kalim, they explain, could be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. And they could be taken to a mikvah. Even though we just said the size of the mikvah, that doesn't mean that you can't have a larger mikvah. And therefore, the kalim that got tamei could be taken out of the base of Mikdash and be immersed in those mikvahs. The shulchan, the Torah says regarding the shulchan, lechem panim lefanei tamed. The only time there was always lechem upon him in the shulchan. If there's always lechem upon him in the shulchan, we can never put the shulchan with the bread into the mikveh. The only time that there was no lechem in the shulchan was on Shabbos, when they would take out the old lechem and then put in the new lechem upon him. And in that period, between taking out the old lechem and putting in the new lechem, then you could put it into the mikveh. But we learned many times, the Gemara Masech Tebeyodaf, Yudzayin Yudches, says that Chazal made a gzeira that we're not allowed to be toivel, we're not allowed to immerse anything in a mikveh on Shabbos because it's nirukim esakin, it looks like we're fixing it. So you can't take a keli, you can't take the shulchan to the mikveh on Shabbos. But the only time that's available to put the shulchan into the mikveh is Shabbos afternoon. But we know there's a rule that ain't shvus b'migdash, that in the base of Migdash, there were no issur d'rabbanan. So in the base of Migdash, we could put a keli into the mikveh. But that means that it has to fit into the mikveh that was in the base of Migdash. So although maybe outside the base of Migdash, there were larger mikvahs where they could easily immerse the shulchan. But the shulchan, and that's the only keli we have this issue with, has to be put into the mikveh because of the timing in the base of Migdash. And therefore the Gemara says that that mikveh is very small. And therefore the Gemara says the only resolution must be that it was able to be disassembled. My kasha. But ask the Gemara, what's the question? Dilma b'yam shasa shleima. When we have a matbelay, when we speak about a mikveh in which we put the shulchan, we mean the shulchan that Shlomo Melech, the mikveh that Shlomo Melech made, that Tani Reb Chiya yam shasa shleima, the mikveh that Shlomo Melech constructed in the base of Mikdash, machzik mei v'chamisha mikveh tara, held the size of 150 shul mikvahs, and therefore once they have such a large mikveh, there's no problem to put the shulchan in there. So we learned in our Mishnah, even the poorest person should not have less than 4 cups of wine the night of Seder. Ask the Gemara, but there is a concept of zugus. The Gemara we're going to learn in the next shir teaches us that there's a halachah l'moshe m'Sinai of zugus, not to have something in pairs. Because when you have something in pairs, that the mazikim are, that person who exposes himself to that has to be worried about the mazikim. The reason the Shalah explains why there's such a strict attitude towards zugas, towards pairs, because the apikarsim say that nobody could do anything, that nobody, it's not conceivable that the world was created by one God, that the world is run by one God. And therefore, they believe that there was a duality, there's more than one God running the world. And therefore, zugus, which represent that concept of a peer, not just one, is the basis of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, where there is that type of a machshava, of duality, that's where the mazikim come. Another pshat that I saw, Rabbeinu Bechai explains that the mazikim were created on the second day of creation. So we see the mazikim have a connection to pairs. And since mazikim have a connection to pairs, that's why we have to be concerned about pair. So ask the Gemara, therefore, how could a Chazal made that we should drink dal kaisis, which is a pear? For Tanya, haven't we learned lo yochel adam trei? A person shouldn't eat 2 foods. You shouldn't eat 2 eggs or whatever. Lo yishta trei, don't drink 2 cups of whatever beverage you're drinking. Lo yikanaich trei, when somebody uses the bathroom, he shouldn't clean himself twice. Lo yikane lo yasa tzrach trei, if somebody has relations with a wife, he shouldn't do it twice. So why over here? Did Chazal, when they made the rule of Dalek Kaisis, make a number like 4, which is, of course, pairs? So Tzlach asks, so if that's the question that we're so concerned about Zugus, every Friday night we have Zugus because we make Kiddush at the beginning of the meal, and then we say Birchas HaMazon, and as we've learned in this Perek, they were very careful to always make, to always say Birch Samazon on the Kais. So it's also pears. So the Tzlach answers, that's not a question. Because since we say Birch Samazon, as we learned earlier in the Perek, Birch Samazon represents a Hesach Hadas. Birch Samazon represents a separation of the meal. And since now it's divided, so the first cup and the second cup don't have any connection. And since they don't have any connection, that's why there's no issue. There's no issue of Zugas. The Chasam Sofer also points out that don't we have a rule of Shomer Mitzvah LaYoda Davara? We're fulfilling a mitzvah, of course, by drinking the Dal Kaisis. And if we're fulfilling a mitzvah by drinking the Dal Kaisis, why are we concerned? Isn't there a rule of Shomer Mitzvah LaYoda Davara? So the Chasam Sofer explains the Gemara. He says, of course, if somebody's drinking Dal Kaisis because he wants to fulfill a mitzvah, so the mitzvah protects him. The Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara's question is on Chazal. How did Chazal go and institute the rule of Dal Kaisis? When they instituted the Dal Kaisis, why weren't Chazal concerned, explains the Chasam Sofer? Why weren't Chazal concerned about Zugas? And why did Chazal make a takana that involved pears? Answers the Gemara. Am Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, we don't need to be concerned. Because Amakra, the Pasuk says, Leil Shemurim, the Pasuk in describing the night of Pesach, says it's a Leil Shemurim. It's a Leil HaMashumer Hoba Min HaMazikim. On the night of Pesach, we don't have to be concerned for these different things, because this is a Leil Shemurim. And in fact, this is why we say Shvoi Chamoscha, and we says the Rashbats, we say Shvoi Chamoscha by the fourth cup. We pour the fourth cup, and then we say Shvoi Chamoscha. The fourth cup obviously represents Zugas, and we're making an announcement that we're opening the door, and we don't have to worry about anything, because tonight is a Leil HaMashumer Bo Min HaMazikim. Why? And the Rishonim point out that in the night of Pesach, throughout our history, we've seen that this is a night that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. This was the night that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to war, that Avraham Avinu went to war with the four Malachim and prevailed. This was the night that Avimelech was punished for taking Sarah. This was the night that Yaakov Avinu held battle with the Sarah Shalesev and prevailed. This is the night that Chizkiyahu was able to prevail over Sancheriv. This was the night that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah was saved from the Kishon HaEish. This was the night that Daniel was saved from the lion's den. This is the night with Achashverosh and Megillas Esther, Nodadosh, Shnas HaMelech, that the king couldn't sleep, and that's where everything turned. And that's why the halacha is that we, on the night of Pesach, we don't say Krishma Shalamita, we only say the bracha of Amapel and the perek of Krishma. All the other psukim that people say by Krishma Lamita for Shmira are not said on the night of Pesach. The minig was that they did not close the doors of their home on the night of Pesach, because tonight was the Leil Shemurim, and since it was a night of Leil Shemurim, they weren't concerned and they left their doors unlocked. But the Magen Avraham says, in a place where Shchiach Hezekah, in a place where leaving your door open is dangerous, even though it's a Leil Shemura, you shouldn't leave the door unlocked. Another reason I saw the Rishonim say is that we don't lock the doors is because B'nissen Nigalu or B'nissen Asidim Ligal, so we're leaving our doors unlocked to allow Eliyahu HaNavi to come visit us. And the Torah says that when Pesach comes out on Friday night, we don't say after Shmon Esrei by Marav the Berachos Mein Sheva. The reason Chazal instituted that the Berachos Mein Sheva should be said Friday night is, as we've explained previously, their shuls were outside of the town. And people who came late to shul, if they came late to shul, they would finish davening late. And there was a concern that since they finished davening late, they would have to walk home alone, which was a sakana. So they instituted that we should all say the Berachas Mein Sheva after davening Friday night. So then that would give a chance for everybody to catch up with their davening. And if they could catch up with the davening, we'll all go home together. But, says the Torah, on the night of Pesach, we're not concerned if somebody's going to go home alone, because he has nothing to worry about. Because as we just learned, it's a Leil HaMashumer Uba Min HaMazikin. And therefore, there's no need to say the Berachas Mein Sheva by Ma'ariv Pesach by night if it's Friday night.